You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Dr. Cruz, I don't even know where to begin with this conversation. You can talk about radio frequencies.
You wanted to talk to me about for something, so I'd say start at the beginning. Like, what's intriguing Marty Bent right now?
I mean, I think your perspective on Bitcoin, what's going on in the industry, is important. What's going on international, because I feel like it's all coming together to some degree, where we're at this inflection point. It feels like we're in a battle for the future of sovereignty in the digital age, and Bitcoin will be a key part of that. And it's just making sure that anybody who is on the side of sovereignty and freedom is operating correctly, especially when they approach Bitcoin. But beyond that, I mean, I saw the Alex Jones coverage of your thoughts on what's happening with the magnetic poles and the effects that could have. We could get on that later, but let's start with Bitcoin.
Well, believe it or not, they're both the same story if you want to know the truth.
Really?
So you'll be a little stunned about that. So let's, you know, I'm pretty famous for making health and wealth the story linked. So let me explain to you why they're linked. And then after I explain it to you, then you can start and go where you want to go. So the base chain of the human Lagrangian is DNA and RNA. You know that. Okay. Anytime we add atomic mass to the base chain, we get diseases. Those are all the Maha chronic diseases out there. How does this process happen? You also know that. Methyl groups that have H, H becomes D, hydrogen is deuterium. You're adding atomic mass, it ruins the base chain. What happens in Bitcoin? The same fucking thing. The Bitcoin Lagrangian base channel is designed to be clean, to solve the Byzantine general's empire. When we add any type of mass to it, it gets polluted. How do we know that this is the case? Very simply, you'll see the meme pool explode and U2XOs go through the fucking roof. That's the Maha diseases. That's exactly what we've seen since the Fabians and Bitcoin have gotten their way. Okay? So that's really how it goes. And Marty, last point, June 3rd, 2025, while I was in Prague last year, paper came out that discussed Landauer's principle in physics, controls all decentralized networks. This was the smoking gun to out all the people in Bitcoin. Why? Because the people who are adding atomic mass are basically adding information to the base chain. Information and mass are the same thing in physics. So when you go look at the Lagrangian equation, remember, this is the physics equation, Marty, that is the equation of everything. So it's not only included in my work in biology, but it actually includes my work in Bitcoin. So now that we've established that these are one and the same thing, begin.
So I'm assuming this is like ordinals, data, arbitrary data included in transactions.
Anything.
Adding this mess.
How about the program Orange that your boy Sailor's running? Let's talk about that. Oh.
Which one?
Yeah. How about Peter Todd? Well, you want to talk about that? You want to talk about Nick Carter? Let's go. You want to talk about why Trump is having a shitcoin casino at Mar-a-Lago in a couple of weeks? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about what Nick Carter's really doing, telling Quantum FUD to make sure that information keeps going on the blockchain.
Let's talk about it all. I mean, I guess we can start with Quantum. What? Because I've been very critical about this. I think the rush to make a signature algorithm change is haphazard and stupid. And I'm not convinced that we actually need it.
Well, I know that it's stupid, but I also know the reason why Nick Carter is behind it. Remember where he went to school? University of Edinburgh, where the Fabians are based. Remember who his dad is? His dad is a Fabian. This sounds a lot like AC and Callie means to me, that you have somebody out there selling you propaganda. Hey, let's talk about Fruit Loops. But the real problem is we got to keep minds away from the jabs and all the 55 atoms that were added to them, that added atomic mass to ruin the base chain. Well, that's exactly what Nick's doing. Why? Because who funds Nick? The people in Silicon Valley that own fucking Ethereum. And they just went to proof of stake, because guess what happens when you add enough information to the base chain? You extinct its ability to be functional. That's exactly what happens. So guess what? They're ready for, hey, this doesn't work anymore. Let's bring in, you know, the newfangled blockchain that Brian Armstrong and Donald Trump and Lutnick and Fink and all the other fucking criminals in Bitcoin want to shill. That's the story, bro. This is a magnetic declination that's affecting Bitcoin and people. At the same time, the difference is the core devs, we have to clean them out of the people that think information on the base chain is smart. And we have to put people in that begin to realize that, hey, guess what? Layer one, layer two, layer three is where all the information needs to go. And if we have those people and we're the plebs that do this, the base chain will be kept clean. Bitcoin will not be extincted. We don't need to have huge amounts of discussions about this, because the fucking laws of physics are universal, and putting information on the base chain is fucking psychotic. And if you want to talk about how biology solved this, what's the layer one for biology? Circadian biology. That's how it keeps the base chain clean. So what does it do? It uses light, dark, and temperature to make sure that atoms that shouldn't be on fucking DNA and RNA aren't there. That's how it works. And when you break that, magically, guess what happens? You get sick and you get closer to an extinction event, which is kind of what, you know, all these people dying from COVID is all about. You know, people act like this is like newfounded ideas. We've been in an extinction event since 1859. 1859 is when the Carrington event hit the Earth. That's designed to get the wobble of the Earth back in line from the magnetic dynamo. So do I think that the whole story that came out on Alex Jones is the penultimate story? Like, what do we care about Bitcoin if we're all going to die? Well, if you know anything and you're not a moron, we had five extinction events. Life made it through each one. And I've said to you on other podcasts that you and I have done together, and Marty, it's going to be for Bitcoiners that understand what I'm saying, they're going to make it through this extinction event. Okay? Right now, the guys that are playing ball with the fiat clowns in banking, they are trying to take us all down. And we need to know it. We need to...
How do you think the social layer is doing at acting as an immune system against this stuff?
I think you're probably a better... I think you're better at this. I'm going to tell you. And you have to realize, Marty, me as the neurosurgeon, I'm sitting in offshore watching Rome burn. I made my diagnosis 5 years ago. I knew what the problem was. I've known what the problem has been for a long time. To be quite honest with you, I don't really give two fucks about the social layer. I told you that I stepped back into the politics game 3 years ago to try to help out the biology side. And you saw how that goes. Like, the atomic mass that just got spit out is, you know, Bondi, Bobby Kennedy, Donald Trump. It's useless. It's absolutely useless to try to fix it this way. And I think Bitcoiners can do it. But the arguments that we're having, Marty, let me just tell you to try to get this clear. Every Bitcoiner who's a pleb thinks that every single attack has been covered by Bitcoin over the last 15 years. And I'm telling you, this attack has not been covered. This attack is not anywhere else, because when you really understand what they're trying to do, they are trying to slow the base layer down, because what happens incrementally over time, it leads to the chronic diseases that we have in biology. And then they know they can move in with their real game. You know, right now, this is all the propaganda they're giving you. And the problem is the Peter Todds, the Michael Saylors, the Adam Backs of the world, they should know this fucking thermodynamic story, especially fucking Saylor, since he's a fucking engineer. And he goes on with Robert Breedlove and talks about thermodynamics all the time. But guess what? He needs to be fucking questioned. Because I got news for you. When you ossify the main chain, that's an extinction level event. End a report. And the Landauer paper lays that out clearly. So the question for the plebs in the social layer that you just brought up is exactly what I said on Danny Jones' podcast about Casey and Callie Means. There's a chart, ignorance and fraud. Where are we at? Are they ignorant? Are they fraudulent? Well, in Prague, show up, because I'm going to give you an M&M conference about who and what I think is ignorance and fraud. And if you want a preview, go watch the fucking Danny Jones podcast when Mary Tally Bowden and Casey Means are in my midst. I'm not going to hold back, because to me, the physics is clear. We know exactly what the problem is. Now, I need the social layer, guys like you, guys like the core of devs. Like, we got to start calling these fuckers out. You know, you've been doing a good job. When I got on Bitcoin Archie's pod, I told him 2 years ago in Prague that I had a huge problem with certain people, and he fought with me. And that was my sign that I needed to start fucking lighting some fires. Because you know what? The plebs are asleep, bro. They don't see this attack coming.
I was going to say, it's been a bit boring around Bitcoin. It seems like people have been lulled into a false sense of complacency or boredom because of price action. But
that's also by design too, my friend. And you have to realize that this is the perfect time, the perfect storm for Lutnick, Fink, Trump, their clowns in the government to rug pull people. And you have to realize who their partners are. When you see it, it's really hard to unsee it. But am I worried about an extinction event for biology or Bitcoin? No, because I think my role as a Bitcoiner, older as a neurosurgeon, I'm a really good diagnostician. I look at the thermodynamic variables and I can lay it out and explain it to you so you see it. The problem is Bitcoiners don't like to think like a neurosurgeon. And the real issue is I've become really popular for my opinions on biology. Not so popular in Bitcoin circles, because people think that I'm not a technical guy, but this is the most technical discussion you'll ever hear on Bitcoin, because it's the most fundamental level. This is Bitcoin in the great oxygenation event when it was bacteria and archaea, and we're coming to endosymbiosis. You don't get hyperbitcoinization until you get to the eukaryote. And the eukaryote situation is we have to take all information and atomic mass off the base chain so that the Byzantine general's empire never gets fucked. And if you understand that, what Satoshi and Len Sassaman gave us, as far as I'm concerned, is a base chain that's costly in energy and not in time. What does that mean in English? It uses Newtonian time to make a cause and effect ledger. What do we need? We need the next step, which is circadian biology, which is now we need a timing mechanism that's quantum based, light, dark, and temperature. Why? Because we have to shred all of the information that attempts to get in to the blockchain. That's really what it comes down to. And I think when the plebs and the core devs understand what Landauer's principle really means and understands the Maxwell demon that it is, that information and mass are equivalent. You know, and they go back and they read the papers on this, like I have. John Wheeler, a physicist, actually did this stuff in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. When you understand this, then guess what? I just gave you the fucking scientific basis for it. You don't have to fucking sit down and keep inviting Adam back to your conferences when he is a fucking Fabian. Remember where he comes from, bro. Remember who he did business with. Got it?
Yeah. Well, let's, you said Bitcoiners don't like to think like a neurosurgeon, but you recently wrote an article, the RF signal harming America, getting the RF exposure, essentially equating it to synthetics, some disrupting circadian biology. So digging into this, linking it to how people have low dopamine, OCD, ADHD, west of the Mississippi. So like, I think explaining that and then tying it into how potential changes to Bitcoin or uses of Bitcoin can disrupt its circadian rhythm, because I think block time, the Newtonian physics that you described aligns with that. So tying it in,
well, that's part of the reason I was worried about you know, being in Texas, because I think Texas and California is the best place to see the effect of a magnetic declination. Why? The Ogallala aquifer is basically empty below you. And this is going to affect the people on top and what they do. This is the reason why Texas is now purple and why people from California are moving there. And to me, it makes no sense to build your last stand in a place like that, because you're surrounded by fucking people who are morons. These are the people that are going to buy Bitcoin from Brian Armstrong. And I think the ground zero for it is in Austin, Texas. And I think this is the reason why Mary Tally Bowden keeps getting pounded in Texas all the time. Even though she's completely right, she doesn't understand that nobody around, they're all getting a non-coherent signal. It's just like what happens in the tweet that you were talking about today, that RF gives the signal for biology to make melanin. The problem is the melanin it makes gets degraded straight to dopamine. And that, what does that mean? All the people want the dopamine hit. So that's the reason why they keep going back to low dopamine things. So just think about why Roger Ver, because that's who this started with, Brian Armstrong, Adam Back, all the people keep going back to the shitcoin casino, because they're all gambling. That's what the low dopamine side is. And Brian Armstrong is being very, very honest. I have to say, out of all the Fabians in Bitcoin, he's the most fucking honest. Because he's telling you who the fuck he is right up front. Now, Nick Carter, he's a fucking devious bastard. And why is he devious? Because you have to go back in his history and know who he is. Know that he is a Bitcoin owner, but also know that the people who are behind him are the people that want Bitcoin destroyed. Why? Because they own more shitcoins. They own the shitcoin casino, and they've basically got their boy in Washington, D.C. But much like what you see in the United States, the atomic debris, like where's the atomic debris in Trump's administration right now? It's in Iran. That's complete destruction. So to scale this another way, Marty, if you want to go here, I want you to think about the country I'm in now, where we have a president who got rid of the atomic debris called MS-13. And here, when you come, everything is being built. You wouldn't even know that we were an extinction event. We have Bitcoin. Everybody here is happy. Like, our dopamine stuff isn't being fueled to casinos. It's being built all around. The whole country is being built on. People are happy. I'm going to tell you, that's not true in Texas, because I was just there. And it's not true in California. This is the reason why people in Austin and Los Angeles and San Diego have sun, but their vitamin D levels still suck. It's because of that paper I just told you, because you're all addicted to the RF stuff around you, and you don't realize this makes you seek noise, not signal. And just because, Marty, you got it right on Bitcoin doesn't mean you have it right on everything else.
Yeah. So what is it about the RFs that's disrupting everybody's dopamine? And can this be,
it's the leptin melanocortin pathway. You have to remember, how does melanin really work on Earth? That's what it comes down to. It works on all frequencies of the electromagnetic spectrum, but what happens in us is that we're designed to use a very small portion, UVA and UVB. But it turns out when you get outside the visible spectrum, because that's what we're tied to, any other part of the spectrum will stimulate melanin. But the problem is that melanin degrades fast and it degrades into dopamine. And if you want to know how important this lecture really is, or this lesson is, this is exactly what did the Neanderthals. The same story did it to them. And the last chap event, remember, which is a magnetic declination story, I think I've told you this before, the Neanderthals had 125 grams more brain tissue than us. They lost it. We become them. What happens? The brain volume goes down, water and CSF goes up, but melanin also goes up on a relative basis. Here's the key. The reason they're called Neanderthals is because no skeleton on them has ever been found above the 51st latitude. Well, that kind of tells you, hey, this melanin story is likely linked to light. And it is. It's UVA and UVB light. Well, you go across the 51st latitude, and just for the people at home so you don't have to pull the map out, that's like London. If a Neanderthal went above there, they can't spin the vortex in their heart or their brain fast enough. What's the third vortex? The ATPase in the mitochondria, 9,000 revolutions per second. So what happens? They shrink their brain. And we are the ones that come in that place. That's where Kvar shows up. Why does Kvar show up at that time? Because the melanin was degraded into dopamine and humans started to create art inside of caves. And we are the result of that effect. So when you realize that most of life is linked in for melanin use for UVA and UVB light, you go, okay, and this is the simpleton idea, hey, that it's just a story about light. Well, you know, especially if you've been following me, I always tell you it's light, water, magnetism. And what part does nobody want to talk about? Magnetism, because they don't understand it. Well, a paper just came out this year that showed something very interesting in planetary physics, that for some reason on the Earth, dating back 540 million years ago, that the magnetic field of Earth is linked to oxygen levels on the planet. And what is the point here? The point is this, Marty. This is exactly how a decentralized network functionally works. We became coupled to the magnetic field after the Cambrian explosion. When does the Cambrian explosion happen? 575 million years ago. But this linkage is tied to us. So that means anytime the magnetic field declines, you're going to have a problem with melanin, even if UVA and UVB light are out. What does it really mean? It means if you live in San Diego and you go outside at 30, 31 north latitude and you get tan and you get your vitamin D checked and it's not good, guess what happens? It means that all the melanin that you should have made is being shunted dopamine. And this is the reason why people are addicted to Circus Maximus now, because you're not able to make the melanin anymore. It turns out that whole three-legged stool of life is really, really important when you have this event. And you can see, you just posted the picture from the new paper that just came out. And just so you know, because I want people to understand this, I made this prediction 30 years ago, and I was called crazy then because I didn't have this data. Well, this data just came out, and it shows that the magnetic field is completely yoked to oxygen levels. Well, it should make sense when you think about the Cambrian explosion, because how did the Cambrian explosion show up? For those of the Bitcoiners out there that don't know what that is, this is a period of time where life goes from single cell, not complex, bacteria and archaea, to eukaryotes. Literally in the fossil record, we have evidence of 32 phyla showing up overnight, okay? It's like nobody can fucking explain it. Darwin's theory doesn't explain it. You know, no one has a clue, but I have a clue. I've known for the whole time what the issue was. How did we make DHA? What is the liquid chemicals that are magnetic? Cholesterol and DHA. And DHA was first made by these bacteria in the ocean, and DHA filled the ocean up first. This is why oxygen levels are increasing. That's what the yolk became, and then all of these things got incorporated into eukaryotes. So that's why the first picture shows what it shows. The second picture you just put up is the picture that shows magnetic declination running from Canada, okay, all the way into Siberia. And this all began in 1859. Many people don't know what was the big news of the day in 1859. It was the Carrington event. It's the last time the Earth got hit with a direct CME. What is a CME? Coronal mass ejection. How does the Earth get hit with CMEs? Physics tells us that answer too. When the Earth's magnetic field goes down, we're more likely to get hit. So, Marty, do you remember last year when people at the 18th north latitude in Puerto Rico saw aurora borealis in the northern hemisphere?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a fucking good sign, bro. And guess what sits on the western edge of Puerto Rico? Something called the South Atlantic Anomaly. That is the weakest part of the magnetic field on Earth. And what has happened in the last year and a half, 2 years? The USGS just resurveyed the magnetic field. The last time they did this was in 2005. That's when I put my quilt document on the internet. I've been making predictions about this. I thought the slope of the line wouldn't be as severe as it is now. And it turns out it's worse than I even thought. And the South Atlantic Anomaly is now splitting into two. The eastern half is going to South Africa. The South Atlantic Anomaly in southern America, you'll be shocked to know that it's now added the size of continental Europe to its breadth. So this is growing. What's happened at the same time? At the same time that the poles have moved to Siberia, and this is the most interesting part, the base magnetic field of Earth is about 50 nanotesla. The base magnetic field right now in Siberia is 335 nanotesla. So what did Uncle Jack do when he read all this data in the last month or so? I went back on evolutionary timescales to figure out what the slope of the line would be. And it turns out the change in Siberia is 320 million years to go from 50 to 332. We've done that in 20 years. So let me explain to you what happened 320 million years ago. That's when mammals evolved on Earth. So this is a big event. And what does it scale back to? What was the big event in the biggest extinction on Earth? It's called the Great Permian Event, okay? 252 million years ago. What do we believe caused it? In Siberia, same place where it's strong now, we had basalt lava vents open up and blow the top of the planet out. That led to absolute collapse of life in the sea. 96% of things died on Earth because there was no oxygen in the water. Now, 252 million years later, the place that was the vent is now the vortex. And the block is in southern hemisphere. It's completely reversed. So when I started to think about this, I started to think about Robert O. Becker's work, about how he put salamanders asleep when he was doing his experiments. I said, that's a polarity flip. That's the difference between wakefulness and consciousness. Then I started to think about all the craziness going on in Brazil over the last, 50 years, and started thinking about what's going on in South Africa. I said, you know what I need to do? Becker did a very interesting study. When he found this polarity shift in salamanders and amphibians, he went with a guy named Shulman to the UK to see if geomagnetic changes led to more psychiatric admissions to hospitals and ER visits. And he found it's true. Then him and Marino did a follow-up study because they thought this was interesting. And again, this is published in the literature. they went back to the lab in SUNY Syracuse, and the government asked them to figure out what was going on with this Sapphire antenna in Wisconsin. And when the U.S. Navy didn't listen to them, they decided to use power transmission poles that were in New York State going right past their lab. And they found out that one 765 kilowatt tower, which I know you see in Texas, those are the ones that look like, you know, the Satan thing. It changes the Earth's magnetosphere 80,000 kilometers above the Earth. So I was like, and you remember, I learned this as a young resident. I'm in like in the 80s now. And I'm going, okay, so that means that things around us are going to be affected by it. Okay. Then I started looking in San Diego. I started looking in all the places where these things were happening over the last 50 years to see if life was being affected by magnetic declination. The big place I found in San Diego, because we have the military there, we have Qualcomm there, where they made CDM technology. The number one thing that we found there is we had saw bee collapse. What do bees use to navigate? The magnetic field. I was like, that's interesting. Then I started to talk to biologists in San Diego. I said, tell me about migratory birds. Yeah, we lost them all. Then I went to the fisherman. He says, yeah, we can't catch any fish from San Diego all the way up to San Francisco. The oceans are basically dead. I was like, okay. So then when I saw the South Atlantic anomaly about 10 years ago get bigger, I decided to ask the question, is there more neurodegeneration and heart attacks in Brazil? And there was. Big time change. Then what did I do? Is the people on top of the country, on the tectonic surface, are they being affected for their society and socialization? They were. They're all low dopamine, and that's the reason why it's led to political instability. It's exactly the opposite effect in El Salvador. Why? El Salvador is known as the land of volcanoes. On Earth, just so we're clear, Earth, El Salvador has the highest density of volcanoes that are active per square kilometer. And it turns out this is true between Guatemala, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Nicaragua. It stops at Panama. Why? Panama is beginning to be affected by the South Atlantic anomaly, just like Puerto Rico is. But we're at the eastern edge. We are at the rim of fire. Then I started to look at, okay, if it stops at Panama, I need to go look at Chile, because Chile's on the ring of fire. Peru's there too, but they don't really have too many volcanoes. Most of their volcanoes went extinct a long time ago, but Chile is extremely active. And guess what I found out? Two-thirds of Chile, and most people know Chile is a long, skinny country that goes up and down. Two-thirds of Chile have the same problems going on that that Brazil has. And their volcanoes are not doing anything. The only place where the volcanoes are doing anything in Chile is the bottom third. That's down by Ushuaia, that part of Argentina. And funny, the guys that run the banking empire and the guys that are trying to fight Bitcoin, they just send guys down there to light the place on fire, because Malay made a rule that if there's a fire, then you can take over. So it got me thinking, is this possibly that governments all over the world have known this and they're looking for an out card for their populations? And after this paper came out, I don't think it's actually hyperbole anymore. I actually think it's for real. And I think when the guys came down, and just so you know, those guys that came down, they weren't Alex Jones people. They were guys doing a documentary on MK Ultra, and they wanted to talk to me. And we got into this. It was a four and a half hour interview at Costa del Sol. And one of the things that came up was they kept asking me, why do you have all this volcanic rock all over your house? I said, because that's a way to increase my volcanic matrix in my brain. It's just like eating saturated fat like cholesterol, and just like eating DHA, because where is the GPS system in your brain? It sits in the CSF, which is surrounded by the thalamus. The thalamus is where all sensation comes in. This is the reason why Becker did the study that he did in the UK to see if the thalamic GPS in humans could be affected you know, by changes in magnetic declination. And now we know it's true. And now we have proof that mammals are deeply connected to the planet. The interesting thing is, in this paper, I believe that the vortex that's now come over Siberia, what's the reason? And you'll probably like this, because I haven't told anybody this yet, is now that the Arctic is melted, what do you know about hydrology? Hydrology, the best deuterium depleted water naturally on the cycle is at the poles. So this water is all melted and gone in the ocean. That means the ocean at that level is isotopically light. That's the reason why there's a vortex there now. And that's the reason why magnetic field is 335 nanoteslas strong. And it's looking to egress out. What's the mid-sutural line on the planet? Iceland. Iceland has been extremely volcanically active since all of this stuff has gone on. And what else has been active? I call my place that I live in Meckel's Cave. It's part of the brain case that we're designed to get rid of deuterium as well when we chew and masticate. But what's the big part, the big vagal exhaust that's blocked? Chile, Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, and Panama. Remember, the Andes Mountains begin in Colombia. They're all volcanic. The land bridge that Panama was, used to be part of Colombia, also volcanic. That was made 80 million years ago. It turns out that once that landmass was made and separated the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans, what was the major change? Thermohaline currents in the oceans changed. That's what sets the stage for the wobble in the southern hemisphere. And what did the sun do in 1859? Through the heliospheric current, it sent a bolt out to hit us to see if it could change the wobble. Now, the key question for guys like me and you who are interested in Bitcoin and our kids and all that, is this really a biologic kill shot like the Permian? Or are we just going to have problems where magnetic declination is the worst? And in my opinion, since it's been going on 159 years, remember, I'm drawing on evolutionary biology, the five extinction events. The one thing I'm pretty sure of, life always finds a way. Life will get through. Now, will humans be a part of it? That I don't know. But I can tell you, based on the human Lagrangian, we work on vortex power. The three vortexes, ATPase, 9,000 revolutions per second of H+, the one in our blood, the gravity well that controls the second one, and then the CSF and the third one that goes between the third and fourth ventricles. And if you want to talk about that biology, I'll tell you how the vortex is made. But that's the key. And when this ties into the Bitcoin story, I can't have in centralized medicine anything that disrupts those three vortexes. Anything that disrupts those three vortexes, my patients get sick. What I'm saying to you is anything that adds information or atomic mass to the base chain of Bitcoin gets sick, but Bitcoin doesn't have circadian biology to protect it yet. Okay? We need, me and you, need to have discussions like this so that new core devs come in and go, okay, guess what? Lightning was, how shall we say, the workup for what we really need. We need all the information to go outside the chain. And what does this act like since Bitcoin right now is only costly in energy, not costly in time? See, mammals are costly in time. And we need to make Bitcoin costly in time. How we do that is we have to create an electrical resistance in the layers right outside the base layer. That is the physics of what needs to happen. Anybody who advocates inclusion of information or mass, they out themselves to the Bitcoin community as Fabians. And as far as I'm concerned, they should be called fraudsters until proven otherwise, because the thermodynamics of this is crystal clear based on Landauer's principle. And I looked, Marty, I've looked big time. I haven't seen one Bitcoin paper out there that ever mentioned Landauer's principle.
Sup, freaks? Guess what? Just booked my tickets to Vegas, headed for Bitcoin 2026. It's that time of the year, April 27th to 29th in Las Vegas. I'm going to be there. A ton of people are going to be there. You better get your ass there. You know what? People are calling it bear market. You know, these are the best conferences. I've been going since 2019 when it was in a parking garage in San Francisco. If you want to get the best possible ticket prices, make sure you use our link and the code TFTC. You go to 2026.b.tc. Use the code TFTC. You'll get 10% off. You can bundle with a hotel room to save big and make the most of your experience staying on site at the Venetian. That is where I will be. Ticket prices are increasing, so make sure you get yours today. Join Bitcoiners from all around the world. It's a global endeavor. It's a pilgrimage, if you will, for the ultimate networking experience. There's going to be a ton of people there. You can hear from the biggest names in the industry. Sailor's going to be there. Matt and I and the Pub Key Boys and the Bugle Boys, we're going to have live hot style takeover. That's going to be there too. All in the Venetian. Everybody's meeting up. It's going to be fun. Get there. 2026.b.tc. Use the code TFTC at sign up. Sup, freaks? Up next, the Bitcoin Scaling Conference, where Bitcoin developers meet institutional capital, is coming to New York. Join Bitcoiners from Blockstream, Chaincode, Brink, and more at the Can't Miss Summit at the intersection of Bitcoin tech and finance. This conference has one of the best signal-to-noise ratios, and that's why I'll be joining Blockspace's third annual Bitcoin Tech Conference on April 16th at the New York Times Center in Midtown Manhattan. There's only room for 200 attendees, and they've already sold more than 100 tickets of their open spots. So you've only got a few weeks to get your travel plans in order for New York. With the ticket, you get access to the best programming in Bitcoin tech, from BitVM to BitChat, catered lunch, and access to the PubKey After Party. Wearing the hat, PubKey After Party. Up next is where builders meet capital, founders find funding, and companies source top talent. Plus, meet institutional investors and developers from BlackRock, HC Wainwright, and Bitcoin Infrastructure Corp. If you're at a venture fund or another finance firm, this is the event to learn more about the quantum computing, bleeding edge Bitcoin tech, and topics that will define Bitcoin's futures. Go to opnext.dev for tickets and use the code TFTC to get 25% off a general admission or VIP ticket to the event. Again, that's opnext.dev, code TFTC for 25% off a ticket. I'll see you there.
I'm trying to digest everything you just said, bringing it back to
me. I told you, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It is.
This has been 50 years of my life. When I told you that it was, I figured this out when I was 40 years old in biology, and I've been talking about it for 25 years since then. And I can tell you, in 2015 is when I started to realize this was a problem for Bitcoin. And that's why I started paying attention, because the block wars were the first. They were the first attack. That's what Roger Ver really was doing. But he had help. And you need to understand the help. We haven't really gone in this patch, but I will tell you, because I know you like her, this is the key link between Epstein and Adam Back. Why? Because if you know the story in the biology side, that the Rockefeller Institute hired Epstein at 30 years old in 1983 to go biohack the Human Genome Project about chromosome 2, because they knew capturing melanin was the key to ruining the base chain of biology so that they could continue to sell products. When he was up there talking to Eric Lander is when Joe Ito came into his realm. And that's when this whole thing with Back started. Now, the question we have to ask about Back is ignorance or fraud. The same question that I post on Danny Jones about Casey and Callie Means. And you saw how I did that there, that I'm not casting blame. I'm making a diagnosis, because this is where the problem exists. And I'm a lot more aggressive with Nick Carter because I know his history. I know where he comes from. And I know that he's using propaganda and FUD so that nobody realizes what you and I are talking about right now. Because he has the solution for the true ossification of Bitcoin. And all of the people that are sending him money in California, I remember, these people in California are all low dopamine people. This is all the A16Z things. And Marty, I think you know this. You're a smart guy. The same people who funded Casey and Callie Means are the same people that are funding the shitcoin, A16Z. And don't tell me that I think that's a coincidence, because it's not. It makes my, how shall we say, theory or thesis quantum coherent. And I would like the plebs to think about what I'm presenting. This is just like when I was in neurosurgery residency and another resident had a complication, had to go in the front of the room and explain why he did what he did. And then you would have mentors, us, we take him apart about his decision-making tree. This wasn't meant, you know, to tear a guy down. It was meant so that the mistake never happened again and then no other people would be harmed. And believe me, am I going to use Prague, the stage of Prague, for that same thing? Yes. On Danny Jones, I was a lot more aggressive with the means people because I knew they were actively harming people. And they still are. And it looks like the real problems that sidetracked Kennedy, you know, were Susie Wiles, Bondi, Todd Planch, and Senator Cassidy with Senator Warren. And don't you think it's kind of funny that Cassidy and Warren are also against Bitcoin? Like, there's a reason that this stuff is here. They are taking money from Rockefeller Medicine and also from the banking side. So it makes my point again that health and wealth are fundamentally linked in ways that very few people in our community really understand. And I want to get out in front of that. I want you guys to know it because, you know, who knows? I could be suicided someday. And this idea is not out in the sphere that Marty Bent swims his vortex in. But I need guys like you who are inquisitive, to ask questions, to have people on. Say, well, what do you think about this? You know, do we need to have a new discussion about, because we already had the example, layer one solutions, Stark's Lightning, it's a good thing. It's a really good thing for the base chain. We need more of that, though, for all the other stuff. Like when Udi Wertheimer opens his mouth, we all need to stick our fucking eggplants down his throat because he's a fucking train wreck.
It's funny. Okay? I think I've been blocked for him for like 7 or 5 years now. And I
think somebody needs to
forget that he's out there.
Yeah. Well, you need to get Whitney Webb on a financial hack of him, because I would be willing to bet you the same people that were tied to Epstein are tied to Udi. It's the banking elite, my friend.
Yeah.
The Sandy Wheels, the Jamie Dimons, the Rockefeller crew, Chase Manhattan. The same people that were tied to why we went after Venezuela. The offshore banking of the Bush family cartel. That's really close to you in Houston. Like, what OCC and Brian Armstrong are attempting to do right now is exactly what the Bush cartel did in Venezuela with the offshore banks in the Caribbean. It's exactly what's going on. But the difference is his partners now, they're very defined. They're Lutnick and Fink and Donald J. Trump and all the Trump family.
I thought Trump was draining the swamp. I thought he was getting rid of all this.
Yeah, that's what he told you. But remember, like low dopamine people, you jumped. Now, I don't want to hit you too bad with that because I was convinced to vote for him too. But Kennedy's the one who told me to vote for him. So did Nicole Shanahan. You remember, there's a lot of people in Bitcoin that know that in Bitcoin Nashville, when they were on the stage, I was wearing a Kennedy Shanahan hat. I wasn't in David Bailey's crew of retards, and I wasn't behind the stage giving Caduceus coins to Trump. But we know who did, and we know that those people have no diagnostic acumen today. So anybody who listens to them, anybody who goes to their conferences, as far as I'm concerned, you get what you get. What we're talking about today is we are creating savages within our community. We want the savages to know how to make the diagnosis. We want them to know who is working with us, who's in our vortex, and who's not. We need to get rid of the bad atoms, the heavier mass. And once we do that, then I think, Marty, coming back to your question in a long-winded way, then I think the social network of the orange folks is going to be very, very good.
And I think there's in your line of like Lightning's good, there's other things like Arc. you can do a lot of compute there.
No, there's like, a lot. There's a lot. I just use them as an example for the people mm-hmm. who will listen to this. I'm not saying that there's not a lot of other good chains. I want to make sure that people understand this Landauer principle and look at it. I'll send you the link. So if you want to put it in the show notes, you can. But this paper is absolutely the smoking gun for outing Fabians. And this is really what the communication between Epstein, Back, and Joito, this is what they found. This is the best way to slow Bitcoin down. And that's the reason why you have to have other blockchains that will work faster. Basically,
other layers.
Who Lutnick is. Lutnick was the primary broker-dealer for the biggest shitcoin on the planet, which is U.S. Treasury market. So he understands how this goes. He's got help in Bessent in Treasury, and he's got help on the outside in the industrial military funnelers, which is Fink. So when you see that all the parts are there to basically build a new system that they'll benefit from that will harm the old bankers, you can see why the tech bros in Silicon Valley are on that side. You can see why they put the shield up. Hey, look, we're Bitcoiners. You are, but your DNA is heavily loaded with hypermethylation of deuterium. So excuse me if I say fuck you, because I don't believe you.
Yeah. What's the timeline, do you think, that we have to write these things?
I'm on which side, Bitcoin or life?
Both.
Life, I think, is pretty simple. I think if you understand the volcanic protocol, you want to be in places where magnetic flux is the strongest, where the aurora borealis doesn't visit. Okay? It's pretty simple. These are like big things. So places that are like that will do well. The USGS survey, and just so you know, Marty, I put the top 10 places to live on my website, because obviously a lot of people are asking me about this. I think that story has been the same from 1859 to right now. I don't think it's changed. I don't think this should be newsworthy to anyone, but I will say this. For people who own Bitcoin, which the majority are Americans, the only place that's good in the U.S. right now is Oregon and Washington, where Bill Gates is from. Parts of Vancouver, North America, specifically Canada, is horrendous. But the reason why this part of the United States is still good is because this part of the Ring of Fire is still operational. And the magnetic flux is good there. The entire U.S. is not in a good spot. And it makes sense considering, you know, the social political aspect we got. I think you can explain Canada that way. The thing that I was the most shocked by, because I have to throw myself under the bus here. 5 years ago, I had to make a decision, El Salvador or Mexico. And Jack was this close to Mexico. Why? I thought where the last extinction event happened, big asteroid came, blew 30 kilometers of the surface out. And there we found that there was a volcano at the base of it. And there's a cenote system there that has deuterium depleted water. I'm like, oh, that's got to be the place. And I have to tell you, when I had my money plunked down to live in the Riviera Maya, something just clicked for me. And that's when some of the people in my network, especially in Goldman Sachs, told me about what was going on with Jack Mahler's and Bukele in El Salvador. And I'm like, really? And that's when I started to look in El Salvador and found out that it's called the land of volcanoes. It's got more volcanic and magnetic flux than anywhere on Earth. I tried to get topographical maps. I couldn't find any for El Salvador. And on a leap of faith, based on what I know in physics, that's the real reason I came. And I said, you know what? You're not going to have a guy after 50 years of civil wars to do what he's doing, give people sovereignty and money back if there's not a lot of magnetic flux there. I said, the rest of the world is fucking going by the wayside. And I said, this looks like an oasis, an ark for people to go. And then what really pushed me over my intuition was the name of the country, the savior. I thought about it. And I said, that's got to be a sign. So I said, fuck it, I'm going to go. And long story short, 2 weeks after coming, Bitcoin law gets passed. The atomic mass that needed to be cleaned here, MS-13, is cleaned through the exemption regime. And, you know, everybody that was in Clubhouse Bitcoin told me I was an idiot. I was going to get my head cut off and my arm cut off. And now they're all the ones dying of inflation and, you know, MIGA and MAGA back in the States. And I'm sitting here going, I don't know. I think maybe the physics was driving my intuition. And that goes back to, you know, what I told you that I learned about Becker, that people's behavior really tells you a lot about magnetic inclination. And that's the reason why the young generation is so nihilistic today, is because they're sensing that there's a problem. And do I think that the future looks bright for places like this? Yes. And I think there's a lot of places out there that are going to look bright. I mean, it would be really nice if, you know, Siberia had better, you know, sun to grow things, because not a lot of things grow there. You know, you do need a little bit of light. And unfortunately, that magnetic flux that's up there from all the melted ice is not really helping anybody there. Because I can't imagine people will go there. But are there other places? Yeah, there's the Aleutian Islands in Alaska. Unbelievable. Like, when I tell you, that's probably the best part of the United States right now. And if you would ask me, I mean, you know me, I'm like a tropical guy. Here I am telling you on your podcast, yeah, if you're in Alaska, the Aleutian Islands is probably a pretty decent place. Why? Because, you know, they go all the way across and then come down. That is a big part of the Pacific Rim of Fire. I think that that area will be do well. And when you consider how many natural resources Alaska has, and the fact that they can pull fish out of the Arctic Ocean that are spectacular, you know, I think it's doable. And it's not a populated place. It's the biggest fucking, I mean, it's bigger than some countries. So do I think that Alaska could be a big frontier for, you know, Bitcoiners down the road? Do I think mining can go on there? Yes. Are there other parts of the world that I'm really concerned about because the magnetic declination is bad? Like Africa, the tip is terrible. That explains why all the politics and crazy nonsense that are happening there between black and white people. It's because the magnetic field is collapsing there. And are there places in Asia that'll be good? The one continent that looks like it's hung out to dry is actually Australia. So Australia, we already know, is a desert. We know that deserts like Mars have no magnetic flux. But the interesting thing is there's two bailouts based on the maps I've looked at. The bailout is New Zealand. New Zealand's really good, especially the South Island, more than the North Island, but it's spectacular. And then the other bailout place, which is in the tropics, heavily populated, but the magnetic flux there is amazing, which is the Philippines. Philippines looks really good, much better than most of the other countries that are in that area. So there is that. And do I anticipate over the next 50, 100, 200 years that the map's going to change because the issues happening with the ice caps, the isotopic fractionation of melted deuterium depleted water, you know, that's been present there for millions of years? Yeah. And do I think the South Atlantic anomaly will hit a dam and start to go in other places? I think what's happened is the western edge has hit the continental shelf where the Andes are, and it can't go any further than that. So I think that's a hard stop. And what we're getting now is a reflection that's heading towards Africa. And my anticipation is that this is going to continue past the tip of Africa into the Southern Ocean. It's going to destroy Australia. But I think the biggest problem will be in the southern part of the oceans. Am I worried about the Humboldt Current? Yes. Am I worried about the people in Chile, Argentina, Peru, that right now have some of the best seafood in the world, that this production ramp could go away? It's possible. The The Gulf of Mexico and the Caribbean are probably the biggest change in this data map that I didn't anticipate. Like when I tell you, I started noticing 10 years ago that I was getting people from Puerto Rico who were Bitcoiners who had a lot of money. They wanted me to be their doctor. And these people were getting, they had unbelievable mitochondrial diseases. And I'm like, they're at the 18th north latitude. Why the fuck is this happening? And then, you know, and I didn't have any new data maps to go on because I didn't think that the magnetic declination would happen as fast as it's happened. And don't you think when it came out, what really clued me in was the aurora showing up in May of 2024 in Puerto Rico. I looked at it. I'm like, fuck, this has got to be way worse. So if you remember, I was very public on Twitter. I've gone on 3 world cruises in the last 3 years. Now you know what I was doing. And I even went to Suriname. Okay. And Suriname is on the top of South America. The only place that I didn't visit in South America because I knew how bad it was Brazil, because that is where the base of the SAA is. And I said, I don't need to go there because I already know the problem. But I wasn't sure about British Guyana, French Guyana, Suriname. I wasn't sure about Aruba, Cartagena, and you know, parts of Colombia, Ecuador, and Peru. And I spent a lot of time in Peru because Peru, I thought, was the inflection point because it has a part on it that has got the gravitation on Earth is weakest at this point. And this has a big implication for this vortex power. And if you go, you know, like you learned in physics, like from Newton, that gravity is 9.8 meters per second squared. If you go to Peru up on the Andes, it's 9.746 meters per second squared because it's so elevated off the planet. So I spent 3 different vacations really studying Peru, big time. The one thing that made me happy is even though it's an equatorial desert that meets the ocean, the Humboldt Current there was spectacular. Like I went in the water there. Dude, I almost froze my balls off. It was like 48 degrees. And this was in the summertime. But I asked all the fishermen there, tell me about the fishing. And they said the fishing is spectacular. So I would tell you right now, I think things are good. And I do think it'll take a long time for the magnetic declination to get all the way around to the other side. But do I anticipate that'll probably happen over the next 25, 50,000 years? Yeah, the problem that I can't share with you that I'd love to, the change from 05 to 26, dude, has exceeded my wildest dreams. Like for Siberia to go to 335 nanotesla in 20 fucking years, and you know, you put the picture up before about how the poles moved. I mean, I don't think people realize from in the last 20 years, it's like the magnetic North Pole is running from Canada into Russia. It's like happening at breakneck speed. And you know, when that happens there, that the exhaust, which is blocked below, is going, the pressure is going to continue to build up. So do I expect the canaries in the coal mine to be the people that live in the Southern Hemisphere? Yes, I do. Do I think that the magnetic declination in places like the U.S., continental Europe, will be measured? Yes. Do I think there's Central Europe is going to be way better? Like, for example, Prague is in better shape than probably the U.K., even though, you know, they're landlocked and they're high latitude. They're closer to the vortex. I think the people that are in the best shape are the people that live in Iceland. Iceland is just lucky enough that they can still grow enough food. They have great seafood, but that little island is extremely active. And, you know, the last 5 years, you've seen how it's kicking out lava left and right. People who live in the States have been saying to me, well, what about Hawaii? Believe it or not, on the map, Hawaii is not great. Even though it's a huge Kilauea volcano, the two big volcanoes there, Mauna Kea and Mauna Loa, are just about extinct. They're not doing anything because the Big Island is no longer over the hotspot. Kilauea is. And the magnetic flux there isn't spectacular. It's good. But then when you add in the effect of military radar, non-native EMF, because non-native EMF does exactly what magnetic declination does. It takes deuterium out of your blood, puts it in your tissue where our mitochondria are, and that's what gives you diseases. It's not great. So I would say if you want to go there and build your citadel, I'd be okay for it for a period of time. But the people I'm concerned the most about right now, Florida. Why? Because I thought Florida was safe and going to be safe. And the fact that Puerto Rico right now sits at the western edge of the SAA, that means, you know, for everybody who wants to know, Puerto Rico is 18 north. Key West is 20 north. Okay? We're talking really close. Like, my advice to anybody who owns land in Key West or Miami, sell early.
Sup, freaks. This rip of TFTC was brought to you by our good friends at BitKey. BitKey makes Bitcoin easy to use and hard to lose. It is a hardware wallet that natively embeds into a 2 or 3 multi-sig. You have one key on the hardware wallet, one key on your mobile device, and Block stores a key in the cloud for you. This is an incredible hardware device for your friends and family, or maybe yourself, who have Bitcoin on exchanges and have for a long time, but haven't taken the step to self-custody because they're worried about the complications of setting up a private public key pair, securing that seed phrase, setting up a PIN, setting up a passphrase. Again, BitKey makes it easy to use, hard to lose. It's the easiest 0-to-1 step, your first step to self-custody. If you have friends and family on the exchanges who haven't moved it off, tell them to pick up a BitKey. Go to bitkey.world, use the key TFTC20 at checkout for 20% off your order. That's bitkey.world, code TFTC20.
What's up, freaks? This rip is brought to you by good friends at CrowdHealth. I've been a happy CrowdHealth member for almost 5 years now. My wife and I have had 2 children while we've been on CrowdHealth, and I actually just got the last bill for our third child funded. It was $6,157. CrowdHealth negotiated down to $2,309, and we only paid $500. The rest was crowdfunded by the CrowdHealth Network. If you're sick of health insurance premiums and having to pay deductibles and getting ripped off at the hospital, join CrowdHealth. It's an alternative way to pay for your healthcare. It's not health insurance. It's crowdfunded healthcare. As you can tell, they negotiate prices for you. You pay in cash. It's much cheaper. Overall, we're much happier. They have incredible perks. Go to joincrowdhealth.com/TFTC to sign up. 5 years on CrowdHealth, not looking back. Joincrowdhealth.com/TFTC. Use the promo code TFTC. Once you set up your account, you're going to get $99 a month for your subscription for the first 3 months.
So are you worried about natural disasters or just the sort of change in the magnetic?
I think weather patterns are going to change. But the thing I'm most concerned about is because of the Becker link is what are people going to react like? I think any place where magnetic declination happens, you're guaranteed to have low dopamine humans. I don't want to be around people who can't think well because their ATPase can't spin 9,000 revolutions per second. And that's effectively what it means. It's really bad news for anybody west of the Mississippi, all the way. There's only one good spot, and that's Pacific Northwest. That's it. When I moved out of Nashville in 2013, it's because I knew about this stuff and because I knew that Google was putting 3 fiber optic rings in Nashville. I almost hate to say this because I don't like to be hyperbolic. You wouldn't catch me anywhere between Minnesota and Mexico City. It is absolutely going to feel the effects of this for the next 100, 200, 300 years. Yeah. You don't want to start your family there. To be honest with you, Marty, I don't think building a citadel in that area now makes any sense with this information, because it's clear that it's speeding up. It's not slowing down. And do I anticipate now that a lot of this data is out that governments are going to be asked more? Do I believe the governments have known about this for a long time? Look, let me explain to you. Let me try to make this real for you. You know what we're being told by Elon Musk about Neuralink. Let me tell you what I think is happening. They know that if this gets much worse, that people, to stay conscious, are going to have to walk around with a transcranial magnet in the back of their head to spin their vortex to stay awake. So what do I think that they're really doing with Mars? They want to put Neuralinks in the astronauts to see if they can spin their vortex back and to and from. Because if that's the case, any place where there's a magnetic declination event, people may get Neuralinks implanted, like people have cochlear implants implanted to hear. That's what I really think is going on. And many of the things that I thought were nefarious before from a geopolitical standpoint, now I'm beginning to understand why tapering the Ponzi scheme is a part of the vernacular of governments. Why? Because I think they realize that if this continues to get much worse, you're going to have billions of people flowing to places that can't handle it. So they outstrip the resources. And then what effectively have you done? It's kind of like when you try to save somebody who's drowning and you're a good swimmer and you both drown. It makes no sense, you know, when you think about it from that standpoint. And I think, you know, it's kind of hard for people, I guess, to hear this and try to remove the emotion from it. But I want to be very, very clear. This is not a new event. This has been going on for a long time. And do I believe from 1859 to right now, we're still in the first inning of this event? Yeah, I do. Do we know how long it's going to take? No, because we really don't know how long the Permian took. And from all my data, because I've been doing this for 30 years, the isotopic analysis that's key in the Permian is oxygen 18. That's what I use. And oxygen 18, the reason why this happens, as magnetic declination happens, it turns out the heavier atoms stay on Earth, the light oxygen, which is oxygen 16, gets blown off into space. It turns out if you look at the Permian extinction event, it took a really long time for this to kind of go on. This wasn't like it happened in 50 or 100 years and boom. But over about a 50,000-year span, the Earth went back to being anoxic after the Cambrian explosion. And only 4% of life that was evolved at that time survived. But from that 4%, you and I are talking about this on a podcast in 2026. So I do think there will be solutions. Do I think we need money to be sovereign and clear of atomic mass to get us there? Yeah, because I think ultimately the people who really understand this, like, this is not something, you know, that should be boom or doom at all. This is just a natural thing that the Earth goes through every so often. But do I believe it explains human behavior, human politics, human geopolitics, and what's really going on the planet? And for Bitcoiners out there that are going to have 50 generations after them, do I think that you need to think about your citadel a little bit differently? Yes. And I base that on not my opinion. I base it on what's going on Earth right now. I think if you hedge your bets, you understand what I'm saying, I don't think it's that difficult to get.
Do you think we're the first living beings on this planet to understand this process?
No. I think the guys that were tied to Göbekli Tepe, and those things are there. But I will tell you, there's an interesting correlate to this that we haven't talked about that maybe I'll throw this to you and see what you think. Might this be the same reason that we have the digital convergence, why AI is big? Why? Because they know that humans may not be able to think well into the future, so that AI is going to be like our walker for mobility, but it's going to be for cognition. I've thought about this a lot in the last 3 or 4 years because, you know, I rail against AI pretty hard. And I've been thinking about it more and more that maybe, just maybe, this might be important. And I hate to admit that because it goes against my biases. But I think it's a real topic that we have to consider.
Yeah. Well, they better get smarter faster because they're not.
Yeah, the LLM models are heavily centralized and slanted towards the people that are making them. But do I think that we need, you know, AI that's truly based on the human Lagrangian, like what we're talking about now, that we still have humans out there that can figure out what's really going on. Because this kind of stuff is going to be important to humans, you know, 25, 50 generations down the road when Bitcoin hyper Bitcoinization occurs. I think that it's just like anything in evolution. Good and bad things happen, but ultimately survival, you know, people have believed it's survival of the fittest. I guess what I'm saying to you here pretty clearly, it's no longer about survival of the fittest, it's survival of the wisest. And since we are mammals that vary our mitochondrial density in our brains and our hearts, I think it's incumbent upon us to consider these things and then say, okay, how are we going to protect it? Because, you know, you've heard me say this multiple times, time's our most valuable asset. And that's what we're really talking about in this podcast. Bitcoin is the second most important thing. And do I think that Bitcoin buys us more time when you understand this magnetic inclination? I want Bitcoiners to be heavily slanted to places where the magnetic field is good, not where it's bad. And I want the guys that are tied to, you know, Adam Back, A16Z, and Brian Armstrong to stay in California and stay where the magnetic shield's decreasing. I'll even volunteer to be the guy that puts the Neuralink in these guys to keep them all awake.
Yeah. That's what I'm like. What levels of magnetism are you looking at? Because I have one of these maps up. I'm just looking at it. I'm no longer in Texas. I'm in the northeast section. I'm in Pennsylvania now.
There you go. So I would say base case for life, mammals, 320 million years, 50 nanoteslas or higher. That's what you want to do. But guess what you need to look at? You need to look at the trend. Has it been stable in where you are, say, over the last 200 years? And that's all we have good data on, Marty. I'd love to tell you that we have better data on magnetic inclination or declination, but we don't. This has really only become a big science in about the last 50 or 60 years. And most of the science, to be honest with you, the truth is still being sheltered through DARPA and NASA. Sometimes they let things out. Like the European Space Program, they have three satellites called Swarm that are above the Earth. And let's just put it this way. I have Bitcoiners that are friends that work there. So I get the cleanest data that you can imagine. And that's the data that I based most of my decisions on. That was the data that I based my decisions to come to El Salvador on. Now I realize it was a smart decision, but I think now when you don't have access to the best data, I mean, pay attention to your eyes, nose, ears. Where's the best place to go? Make sure there's no aurora and make sure that there's active volcanoes. If you use that as a metric, I think you'll do pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Is this map related? Is this pertinent to what we're talking about right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, because I'm sure you do recall, but what was it, December, November of last year when you had that, I don't know if it was a tectonic shift in the Ring of Fire northwest section.
Yep.
So this stuff will activate the plates as well, I imagine.
Well, you know, you have to remember the plates act like the sutures in our brain. They're actually moving with the vortex below. And right now, the vortex below is shut off underneath South America. I mean, you looking at your map right now, 80% of South America is engulfed by the South Atlantic anomaly. You look straight east towards Africa, there's something called the Big African Blob that sits right off the coast of South Africa. It's like a huge piece of iron that has, it's not part of the boundary, the core mental boundary. And it just sits there, acts like an insulator. It's going to be interesting to see over the next 20, 30, 40 years, what happens with that piece of the SAA that's split off, because that's brand new phenomena. We just found out about that in the last 5 years. Prior to it, the SAA was one gravity well, big hole. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with this, because is there a possibility that this magnetic boundary could deflect and go to Antarctica, or could it go up into the tropics or even head you know, up to North America, you know, in a diagonal shot. It's possible. Those are the things you need to pay attention to. But if you look at this map, you can see if it gets past the tip of Africa and that big blob, the next target is Australia. It's like directly ahead of it. And it's a huge, big issue. I'm kind of hoping it goes down to Antarctica. But if it goes to Antarctica, there's a different set of circumstances. Then we do have to worry about some of the things you asked me about before. Because if we get big time melt and we have more thermal haline disruption in the oceans, Antarctica could actually really affect the northern hemisphere, because you'll have then a huge amount of deuterium depleted water into the oceans. That could lead to flooding. It could lead to a lot of different issues. I don't think that's what will happen, but am I open to the possibility? You have to be in an event like this. But does this stuff keep me up at night? No. I mean, it's nice to know about it. It just, for me, since I'm an old guy, you know, working on my seventh decade, I've got kids to think about. That's why, you know, I'm interested in this. That's the reason why, you know, I built my Citadel where I'm doing it, why I'm deploying money here. And like I told you before when we met the last couple of podcasts, I said, come here to El Salvador and see. Nobody here is worried about the world ending. Everybody here is building and everybody's happy. And that's a sign. That's a good sign. Like when I went back to Texas and California and all over the world travels, I have to tell you, this is the one thing that bothered me. Only place that I found the same kind of people in El Salvador were in Peru, New Zealand, Philippines. Every other place I've been, not good.
Well, I mean, in recent months, everybody's been outside looking in El Salvador, particularly here in the United States. It's like, why can't we have that? And they were able to clean up everything. Well, you get these drone videos of...
I think the reason why is you don't have Bukele. I mean, you thought you were getting Bukele with Trump, but it turned out Trump is really... He's kind of like Nick Carter, Schilling, Quantum Bud. You know, that's all he is. He's basically working for the shitcoiners that are in California and the ones in the Middle East. That's his tribe. He's not our tribe. And anybody who really supports him from the Bitcoin world, like, I'm okay if you support him on the politics side, but please stop telling me that, you know, him and the senator from Wyoming are going to save the fucking world. Because that is a bunch of bullshit. I mean, it's absolute epic bullshit. I'm so sick and tired of people giving these people a platform to come and continue to lie to plebs. Because you know what? The plebs don't have all day to do the things that, you know, you and I are talking about and doing here and doing our homework. I mean, I'm always telling people, do their due diligence. Don't believe a damn thing that comes out of my mouth. But I think when people do their due diligence and they find out that I'm right about this stuff, then you go, okay, I need to find out what the fuck to do. Like, I've been on Mary Tally Bowen's case about getting out of Texas. And I'm like, why do you keep signing up for it? Then I see on Twitter, she signs up to get a Tesla. I'm like, are you crazy? Like, what are you trying to do? You know, we need doctors like you. We don't need you to put yourself in harm's way. And I don't know, maybe staying on the Titanic and listening to the music is, you know, what people find attractive when you're nihilistic and low dopamine. I got to be honest with you, Marty. That's not my bag of tricks.
Yeah. And you're against the Tesla because of the magnetic field.
RF. The RF hits you right in the face.
Yeah.
Look, there's a guy on Twitter, rusty.re. You should follow him. He just posted something about the magnetic test that he did inside a Tesla. You're getting hit with RF that is designed to actually keep you from hitting other people and them from hitting you. It's part of their defense mechanisms are built in the cars. I think his name is Rusty_ZE on Twitter. Dude, you when you see this, like if there is a Bitcoiner out there that owns a Tesla, just fucking sell it, because you are spinning your vortex the wrong way. You're definitely going to become part of the Coinbase Tard army if you keep this up.
Yeah, I actually have seen this guy's tweets. I'll pull one up. But
there you go. You should probably get him on the podcast, because you know what? He goes around looking at all different, you know, things that are present in modern life, and he does a hack of them. Like, one of the things I think that would be beneficial for you to have him on, because, you know, a lot of Bitcoiners still use the AirPods in the ear. Dude, that is like psychotic. That is like the fastest way for you to get Alzheimer's. Forget about tinnitus. Yeah, it causes that. But you want to ruin the thalamic arrays of your vortex? The acoustic arrays, the only ones that are bigger than it are the visual arrays. So that's the reason why blue light through the eyes is such a big deal, because 48% of our neurons in our head are tied to the visual system. But the second biggest one is the acoustic arrays. So you really want to make sure you're not doing either one of these things. And I would remind people that the human brain only makes up 2% of your body weight. It gets 20% of the cardiac output. And it defines really who you are. And when you realize that this defines what a nonlinear effect is, that's how you know taking BPC 157 isn't going to do fucking shit for your three vortexes in your body. Now, you can listen to people. You can listen to Sinclair sell you stuff on NAD positive. But no, NAD positive drops because the vortexes in you go down. That's what the whole point is. And the only way to fix it is to make sure that deuterium stays in your blood and doesn't get in your CSF, doesn't get in your skin, and doesn't get where mitochondria are, so that ATPase can continue to spin at 9,000, you know, revolutions per second. You do that, and dude, you're gonna be the best part of Bitcoin's army. Those are the people that I work for.
No, I was happy. I gave up sunglasses in college just because I was just like, eh. Never for a health reason. Just like, hey, I like the sun. And then years ago, I dropped AirPods and have been connected ever since. And I think that the AirPod stuff, because I have seen Rusty's coverage of it. It is pretty scary when you get down to like how much you're actually baking.
I mean, it's really, really bad. And then, you look at a guy like Brian Johnson. And I just sit out there, look at all his tweets, and I'm going, like, this guy's spending $2 million to become extinct. I mean, you just can't make this shit up.
Yeah, you got the job, too.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, I'm okay that people do this stuff. I just want to make sure Bitcoiners don't do this stuff. That's the real take-home message here. I don't really care if the shitcoiners die. I mean, that's kind of how evolution works.
Yeah. I need to get down to El Salvador. I can't believe I haven't made the pilgrimage yet. Yeah.
Well, you said that to me on three podcasts now.
I know. I'm having kids moving across the country multiple times. I got we moved back to the Northeast to be close to family. Now you're scaring me. I'll take it.
I'm just telling you, I moved out of the Northeast when I was 16 and a half years old and never went back. I have to tell you, my world cruise, I actually did three stops in the Northeast. I did one big stop down in Miami. And when I took the readings, I was just like, there's no way this can be right. There's absolutely no way. And, you know, It explains why they got Mandami. It explains why, you know, the garbage is in the street now this high and nobody's doing anything. I'm just like, I was kind of stunned. And I didn't expect to see it in Miami. But, you know, when Breedlove was here 2 years ago in December, I warned him. And I don't think Breedlove really gets the thermodynamic argument. But hopefully, when he dives deep into this magnetic declination thing, he begins to understand this isn't Jack's opinion. This is straightforward physics.
Yeah. I mean, it's becoming more popular too. I don't know if you follow or what your thoughts are on Space Weather News, that guy.
I don't follow him because I found that a lot of the stuff that he posts is a little bit hyperbolic. But do I agree that KP measurements are important for us? Why? Because that is basically a direct correlate to how fast your ATPA spins. On that, he's got that exactly right. That's the reason why when we have a big event happen, people's ability to think goes down. And cognitive haze is there. Like, for example, we haven't even talked about this, but this is a big problem in Bitcoin community. People on the spectrum, OCD, anxiety, ADHD, all of them are magnetic decline nation diseases. And all it's from is the ATPAs not being able to spin 9,000 instead of spins 7,500, 7,000. And you can still function, but you'll see when you stress the system that you got issues.
Yeah. All right. There's a lot to chew on. I've been trying to get you on for like the last week. I'm happy we waited till today. Because of everything that's happened over the last week too, with Bitcoin, quantum, all that stuff. And then on your side with the RF stuff, we'll have to chew on here. Always love to chew on after talking to you, Dr. Cruz. So,
well, that's the good thing about decentralized science. You know, the truth is never hard to find if you just put Windex on your glass eyes and realize that what you were taught may not have been true.
Yeah. All right. Send me the link to the paper. We're going to put that in the show notes.
Now, hold on. Let me see if I can get it for you right now. Bitcoin critical, as far as I'm concerned.
All right. I'm sending this to Logan now so that we make sure we get it up in the show notes. It'll be in the show notes. Go read the paper, freaks. And I'm not going to tell you I'm coming to El Salvador. I'm just going to show up. I'm not going to blow smoke.
I'm okay with that. Just follow the red lights. But I will tell you, don't come when I'm in Europe. Because I won't be here for that.
Yeah.
Because I'm fair to say, probably my last Bitcoin event ever.
Yeah.
June 11th through the 13th in Prague. And it should be quite interesting.
I'm looking forward to it. Jack.
It'll be fun.
You go enjoy your weekend. I'm going to try and do the same after chewing on this information. I think we're good, though. We'll do this again at some point.
All right. Sounds good. Take care, Marty.
All right. Peace and love, freaks.
Okay. Thank you for listening to this episode of TFTC. If you've made it this far, I imagine you got some value out of the episode. If so, please share it far and wide with your friends and family. We're looking to get the word out there. Also, wherever you're listening, whether that's YouTube, Apple, Spotify, make sure you like and subscribe to the show. And if you can leave a rating on the podcasting platforms, that goes a long way. Last but not least, if you want to get these episodes a day early and ad free, make sure you download the Fountain podcasting app. You can go to fountain.fm to find that. $5 a month gets you every episode a day early, ad free, helps the show, gives you incredible value. So please consider subscribing via Fountain as well. Thank you for your time, and until next time.
Okay.